Chris Pringle from the Cambridgeshire FA is also here to talk about a few changes in football rules and indeed the Euros that are coming up as well. I guess being a football man, Chris, you are, like everyone else, very excited ahead of the first games this weekend.
Absolutely, Peter. That week leading up to the Euros is always an exciting time. Lots of predictions, lots of thoughts what might happen in the months to come. It's a long tournament now, 24 teams, it's an expanded Euros, and obviously some law changes to talk about as well. But I mean, the interesting thing is as well, it's sort of an opportunity to have a look at these before they come into play in the new season, both locally and in the Premier League.
Yeah, because the rules that we're talking about, we'll see them for the first time in the European Championships, but then they'll be applying to all of our sides from the start of this season onwards, as Chris has just said. Just quickly, Chris, what do you make of the new format of the Euros? Because previously it's been a very tight competition, hasn't it? To qualify, you've had to be very, very good. It's larger this time around, and also a little bit unbalanced in that not only will the top two sides from each group go through, but a number of third place sides as well.
That's a really good point. And if you look at that, and I was looking at sort of the criteria for that third qualifying team, that is the best three or four third place teams will go through. And it's actually fair play that will come into that as well. Fair play within the tournament, which is a really interesting one. So I hope England aren't in that position where they're looking to sneak through as third place, best third place team. Let's hope it's a clean sweep and go through as group winners.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives you a real incentive, doesn't it, to win the group. I know there will be people out there, and we spoke about this on the show yesterday, saying, well, actually, the group stages, are they academic? Because any team worth their salt should make it through. However, if you do win your group in the last 16, you'll get in theory, a far more straightforward tie. So that incentive is there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the incentive is to win in the group and get a straightforward tie. But it can also, in fact, you might have just one moment of bad luck that, you know, rather than, you know, you get out the tournament through one moment of bad luck, whatever it is, you've now got a repechage, if you like. And I think that's probably right, because I think at the end of the day, the best team overall has got to win it. And, you know, winning the group's all a bonus, but it'll just give you just that opportunity.
Had the wall chart out as well, guys, and studied it. If we win the group, I predict confidently we'll get through to the semi-finals. We'll play a third place team in the quarterfinals and an easier run. So yeah, definitely important to win the group if we can.
And I mean, you can't bet, obviously, but I suppose the sporting bet would be we'll meet Germany at that point in time and lose on penalties.
Well, it's interesting, the betting, though, because again, there's three favourites, you know, France, Germany, Spain, then England, and then lots of outsiders. But given what your team, Abbo, Leicester have done, who's to say that an outsider can't cause a shock this time?
Well, you don't know, but I mean, I think England are going probably best equipped to do this for a long, long time and going into a major tournament. Okay, people said about all the other night it wasn't a good game, but remember, World Cup 66, the first game we drew 0-0. So, you know, the precedent's been set. You just improve as the tournament goes on. And now the time is for England to continue to improve. Roy Hodgson to get the right team on the field and put in a real performance, because I think they've got the talent there overall.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said this. And if you look at tournament teams, not just England, you want to peak at the right moment, don't you? There's no point in all singing, all dancing performance in your opening game and then you let it slide after that. If you play poorly in your opening match but can build up through the competition, you're not going to be able to play your best football in every single match, so that's a good way to do it, isn't it?
No, that's right. I mean, get the bad results out of the way early, and as I say, in the friendlies before, you know, if you're going to have a dull game, let's have it in your warm-up games rather than in the tournament itself.
Italia 90, Euro 96, slow starts as well in both of those, and built momentum as we went, as we
exactly
found our best team. That needs to happen this time.
Yeah, exactly, it's right. Not beyond the realms of possibility that Saturday's game could be a draw. Russia, not the best side in the world, but they're organised. Maybe a bit dour, going to be difficult to beat. Let's talk about some of these rule changes then, Chris. The one that immediately comes to mind for me is the situation about last man challenges, where for a number of years the situation has been, if you bring down a player who has an obvious goal scoring opportunity, if you are in the box, you get one heck of a punishment, because you get sent off, you concede a penalty, and most likely your team concedes a goal as well. So they're at least a goal down and they've only got 10 men. That has been looked at and has been reviewed.
Yeah, and to add on top of that sanction, there's a ban from the next game, certainly in tournament football or in league football as well. So that has been reviewed, and you're exactly right, Peter. If there's a genuine attempt to play the ball, you know, in terms of the ball's there and it can be won, and you challenge and mistime it in the box, then a yellow card can be awarded. Still the penalty kick, but then, you know, there isn't that triple punishment of the send-off and then the suspension as well. I think it's common sense. A lot of the stuff that's come through in the laws are common sense. That's a good one. The issue is, it's still down to somebody's opinion. It's still somebody's opinion. Was it a fair intention to play the ball? And you know, there are some clever players out there that can make football forwards that can win penalties and make sort of challenges look, you know, as if they're unfair, etc. So it is still the opinion of the referee on the day, and people will always disagree with that. But what we don't want to happen, and really the referees don't want to be the talking points in this tournament. We don't very much want the football on the pitch, and I think France deserves a good tournament too, after all the problems over the last few months too. So really hoping that these changes come in seamlessly.
Yeah, I think, as you said, they mostly look like common sense. There's a good chance they will do. Absie?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I think that's an ideal opportunity, because the one, you know, first minute, the defence hasn't got themselves organised, a long ball through, and the goalkeeper comes out, makes an honest attempt to play the ball, and he has to go off. That ruins the game for spectators and everybody else. So I think the referees now can take a common sense decision. I think most of them will, by and large. Most of the referees are of sufficient standard to judge it. You may get the odd one, but, you know, you're always going to get that, whatever, as Chris says, it's about opinions. But I think that's a common sense opinions. And if I can say another one, if I can bring it in here, Peter, the one that I think is absolutely fantastic. What do we whinge about as pundits, commentators, is a player, when a player has to go off. The yep. red and yellow card. Now, if a player is injured in a red and yellow card offence, he can be treated and stay on the field. I think that's brilliant. About time it was done. We're moving forward, and I think that's really, really positive.
That gets the best of both worlds, doesn't it, Chris? Because it does get overlooked in the frustration when you're watching the game, but that rule was initially put in for a very good reason, which was to prevent teams from cynical play. If you got injured, the aim of the rule was to make sure you properly were injured and that you weren't play acting because you got disadvantaged if you did. With this red and yellow card situation, it's the best of both worlds, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and sometimes these things are knee-jerk, and you know, when an issue happens at a tournament, and you think back to some overseas World Cups in the past as well, where players have gone down and tried to run the clock down, you know, and that's why these sorts of things are brought in. The whole laws have been reviewed, and there's about 12,000 words, believe it or not, been stripped out of these, and a lot of common sense things brought in, like the kickoff. The ball doesn't have to go forward anymore. You can play the ball back. So lots of very common sense things, I think, aimed really for, you know, to try and avoid controversy. Let's not talk too much about the match officials. I think it's really healthy that we're talking about the laws of the game here, because so many people who've been involved in the game for so many years perhaps wouldn't be aware of these things, but still, you know, then got a zealous opinion to offer.
Exactly right. I mean, the kickoff, for example, who's worried whether it goes forwards, back,
exactly.
or side? It's not affecting
yeah.
either teams. Let's get on with the game, because we've got 100,000 people, 50,000 people who want to see a game of football, not worried about the referee being pedantic, and it takes that. They don't need to be pedantic anymore. Let's get on with the game and enjoy a game of football.
Quite right.
I know there are issues that crop up all the time, and you're never going to get to a situation where the rules are perfect, but it is one of the beauties of football, isn't it, that in essence it's a very simple game, and yes, it's become a huge global phenomenon, but it's managed to retain that simplicity, and I think that's what people love more than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah, very much the beautiful game. It's simple. You put a ball down, people kick it naturally. Kids do it from a very young age. You want the laws and you want the officials to blend in with that. And really, you know, as I say, it's the football that we want to talk about. That's the, you know, the key to it all.
So you're listening to Drive Time. I'm joined in the studio by Andy Abbott and by Chris Pringle of the Cambridgeshire FA as well. Chris, it's brilliant to have you with us. Let's wrap up a couple of further interesting rule changes for the Euros and looking beyond that as well for club football next season. Penalties. This is an interesting one. Andy, I don't know if you want to tell us about this. You're looking like you have a point to make.
Well, yeah, I was going to look at that. I mean, both part of the law change, player temporarily off the field, for example injured, at the final whistle, well, he can come back on. And both teams must have the same number of players before and during the kicks. Now, I'm wondering, though, if they haven't, say, for example, they've used all the substitutes, and so they can't make another one, and a player is sent off in the last minute of extra time, what happens if you get to the 11th penalty? Is that forfeited?
I think you even the numbers out. So basically, yeah. if a team's lost that player, somebody will have to be asked not to take a penalty, so you even the numbers out, and then you'd go round again.
So the opposition that has the extra player would, in effect, nominate a player not to take a penalty.
Correct.
Would be the situation. Mm. You're pulling a face, up,
well, that seems a bit harsh, because if somebody's been sent off for foul play, serious foul play, then I think they should, at that point in time, they should forfeit the kick, and if they go so be it. I think that's a fair way to be, isn't it? They've been disciplined for that. I mean, it might not have been a penalty kick, so that is a situation which I find a little bit one of those where they have done an adjustment. I see where they're doing it, but I just wonder whether it's fair at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's probably a process thing around, evening the numbers out, but also then the fact that the referee doesn't need to know the order and all the rest of it, which could delay proceedings. And again, these are sort of rules aimed at the whole of the game, so you're also thinking about TV matches and how that will work, but trying to have consistency throughout the game. So it's I can take your point. Sometimes there's the odd anomaly that looks a little bit perhaps against one team.
One other area where penalties are going to change: Lionel Messi is not going to be happy because the faint penalty is going to be outlawed. It's going to earn you a yellow card. And he loves to take a penalty like that.
He does, yeah. And I think that there'll always be players that try to push and test these laws as well. So it'd be interesting to see again how that people always want consistency, don't they, in terms of what's the referee's judgment on what is, a feint. Obviously the extreme example is you stop and you run up, the keeper dives, you put it the other way, and clearly that anybody will be able to see that would be against the laws. But sometimes there's some quite clever, subtle feints perhaps that some referees might allow. But again, everyone will always have an opinion about whatever that judgment call is by the referee. My personal plea is that, people are a bit more informed. We're talking about it now, but also just appreciate that it's a judgment call by that referee, whether you're on a park pitch or in the Euro final in a month's time. And really, yes, it's a pub talk and everyone's got an opinion about the game, but I really wish we'd focus more on the game itself than the decision making and the referees.
Yeah, we'll pick up on that. That's a really good point. We'll pick up on that in a few minutes' time. Just quickly to round off the rules, any others that you'd like into the mix?
I think Chris has brought up a very good point about referees. We've all, we're all at times Neanderthal. I've been it, and I'll hold my hands up.
Surely not, Andy.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I don't believe that.
You you get frustrated. I mean, if you'd heard my lounge when... I promised Chris I wouldn't talk about Leicester when John Moss sent Jamie Vardy off. I mean, the air was blue in my household, and you have to admit it. But I mean, it
was the season was blue, Andy. You were okay.
Yeah, but I mean, in the privacy of my home, that's legitimate. You can kick the stuffed cat.
So long as Mrs. Abbott is happy. Obviously.
Well, yeah, she doesn't normally. She did let me give out a few experiences. But I mean, it is a difficult job refereeing. The game has changed very much. And I think a lot of these laws that they've brought in here simplify it to a large extent. Common sense decisions like we've seen. We can get on with the game and hopefully that will improve things.
The one we haven't talked about is the offside. That'll be interesting, where people do see a free kick is awarded in a player's own half, but the fact that he was offside when the ball was played, he was in an offside position in the opponent's half, but came into his own half to receive it. So I can see the salt and pepper pots being moved around a little bit, trying to explain that to people. But these will be some of the things where it's good to explain it. Because again, you mentioned earlier, Peter, you don't want people jumping up and down on the sofa going, oh, the referee's this, that and the other, like Mr. Abbott just did.
Well, no, yeah, but in the privacy, I only admit it in my privacy, man. But the offside law is always been a difficult one. You can go back to the days of Bill Shankly, who said, if you're on the field of play, you're offside. Yeah. So it's always a difficult one. We'll all have differences of opinions. You just got to get on with it and accept it.
Yeah, probably we were saying earlier about the simplicity of football, the offside rule, the one area where it is a little bit more complex. Right, we will talk more in just a second. We'll also hear from Kyle Walker as well. He's been put out on media duties from the England camp to... Let's see how precise I can get this. 13 minutes time. So Rhea will be back and we can bring you more travel. But we are talking... Well, we're talking about the Euros. That's what we're going to do for the next few minutes. And before we get on to the Euros specifically, let's just go back to this point about referees and respect, because I think we know at some point during this tournament there will be a contentious refereeing decision. And I suppose when it's the European Championships, maybe we have more of a justification for moaning because the refs are right at the top of their game. But it does always make me laugh when you go to Cambridge United games, or maybe even lower levels, and people expect the referees to somehow be perfection when clearly the players are not going to be perfection. It's funny how people can have double standards.
We talk about this a lot, really. Obviously, when we're looking at misconducts and we're looking at the respect work that we're trying to do locally, and my observation just is that it's almost just embedded still into a culture of football, that it's almost a behaviour that is expected of people in football, or some people, and I think a minority. So, you know, it almost feels part of the pastime, whether you go on a pitch and you kick a ball about, but also you shout at the referee, or you go and watch Cambridge United or your local team, and it's part of your entertainment package. Well, I'll give the referee a bit while I'm here, you know.
Almost like because you bought a ticket, then that's part of what you've paid for.
Yeah, it was an entitlement to be able to behave like that. And my view is that, you know, society and lots of things have changed over the years, and I think generally behaviour is much better, you know, but football sometimes occasionally lets us down,
yeah,
and I don't like that.
It happens with managers and players to a degree, and I'm sure players, when they're on the pitch, they'll have all heard criticism and things they don't want to hear. But there's no doubt it is many, many times worse for the officials. And the brutal truth is, if they all have such a horrid time when they're refereeing, it's hard to sell, isn't it? Who's going to want to become a referee so you can have 90 minutes of people shouting at you?
Well, survival of the fittest in many respects, and you do meet people who are just, and we train lots of young referees, and they go out and do nine-a-side football or mini soccer to start with, in what you hope is an environment that's protective and supportive. But unfortunately, you know, even in youth football, we've had issues this season. Our misconduct cases are up, you know, about 60% this season, and that's unacceptable, really. And a lot of that is just people wanting somebody else to blame for something. So my plea again is that people just take responsibility for their actions, concentrate on their own performance, not that of the referee as players. And I think actually they'd play better and probably win more games by doing that rather than being distracted.
I think that's dead right. I mean, you know, when I first started watching football, the worst comment was, you need some glasses, referee. And that's about as bad as it gets. But now you go and watch, I mean, especially...
Oh, so this is interesting. You think it's got worse over time.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you go down, and I'm one of the worst case scenarios now. I mean, when I was at school, just playing 11-year-old school football, you never got anything. You just got a bit of banter. I mean, I remember diving in a puddle one day and soaked the other school's headmaster, he just laughed it off. Now you get abused for it. Parents are disgraceful a lot of the times. I would say 50% of the times, unless the club's stunner.
So this is in kids' football,
It is shocking, some of the things you see and hear. You've only got to stand way back and just listen to it. And it's a hard job for these referees. And I think it's worse on a park pitch on a Saturday afternoon. The higher up you go, yes, there is a little bit of abuse, but from the referee's point of view, you can disassociate, you can switch off, you can get in the zone, can't you, Chris?
Yeah, you can. And I think people often sort of bandy the phrase about, well, we see it on Match of the Day, or we'll see it in the Euros, as you say, Peter. And for me, that's not an excuse to model that behaviour in local football. It's a different environment. The stakes are different. And people have got a choice how they behave. Yeah. And I just really hope that people model themselves more on the Ranieri than perhaps some of the other role models that we've had.
I mean,
I had to get that in Abba.
The Saturday afternoon game, I mean, it used to be a case of you go out, you play it hard. I mean, we used to say kick the hell out of each other, but it wasn't as bad as that. But then you go in the local pub and have a beer. That doesn't happen anymore. You know, that was the way that soccer was played, and it was an enjoyable game.
Yeah, and it's sad if that is no longer the case. For the Euros, Chris, you made a really interesting point earlier on. There will be, obviously, an element of video technology. We now have the system whereby the video technology knows whether the ball has crossed the line. And I think it's fair to say that's worked really well in the Premier League and in the Champions League, because it's a black and white issue. But you, when you were talking about the new situation with the last man challenge and red cards and penalties and all the rest of it, you threw into the mix the fact that the referee has to make a decision, and ultimately it comes down to individual perception and individual opinion. And all too often we'll see incidents analysed by the TV pundits afterwards, and they'll watch 20 different replays from different angles and still won't be able to agree. Right there is the limit for video technology, isn't it? It cannot go beyond really deciding what's black and what's white. Certainly if it does, it's significantly changing the way in which the sport works.
Yeah, and it's the integrity of the sport and the integrity of that human being making that judgment call, you know, as the referee. And you rightly say, these law changes now about that last man, you know, quite a different sanction altogether, whether that offence is in or out of the penalty area. And you're right that, you know, action replays will determine whether that was an inch inside or an inch outside, which, you know, will ultimately make that the right or the wrong judgment call. But it's still a judgment call. So, you know, let's let the referees and the match officials be human to make those decisions and respect them.
Yeah, I think the decision regarding goal line technology is excellent. I mean, that's like, you know, with cricket. But, I mean, you know, with cricket, it's just gone too far. I mean, there was one last night on the game. It took 3.5-4 minutes to decide a run out that was not out. We played it from every conceivable angle, back and forward. You know, some things have got to be left to the referee out of field. Because if you had, you know, 4 minutes, 5 decisions in each half, that's next to 20 minutes on the 40 minutes on the game. And the spectators are going to get fed up with that. You know, and they're not going to accept it. So I think they'll drift away from the game. Keep it as it is. Goal line technology, excellent, because that's the one thing. Sometimes it's very, very difficult, especially if the ball hit from a long distance. It's often impossible for the assistant to be Linford Christie and get up there and to be absolutely certain. So that's brilliant.
Yeah, I think you're right. And certain sports will lend themselves to more video technology. I think cricket, you're not restarting the game till the next ball's bowled. Rugby union, you know, there's lots of sort of passages of play that allow themselves for that. Football, let the game flow. You know, let the referees make the decisions and get on with the game, really, from that point of view.
Yeah. Just quickly then, to finish, let's focus on England and their prospects. Are we in agreement that Roy Hodgson's done a pretty good job so far? I know it didn't go to plan at the last World Cup, but he has been... It's a difficult job being England manager, and he's taken it all in his stride, and he seems to be developing a good side. But as is always the way in football, the next challenge is how you're judged and becomes the most important. What do you think is a realistic expectation for Roy and for England?
I think you're exactly right. The squad that's gone out to France is one that very few people would argue with. I think it's a good squad. It's an ambitious squad. Lots of young, talented players, you know, from a relatively small talent pool in the Premier League. So that's a point worth making. I think realistic expectations, I mean, for me, we need that bit of luck that Abbo talked about. And in a strange sort of way, this conundrum about the starting lineup, you know, I don't wish injury or ill luck on anybody, but it might help Roy's decision making if he is left with fewer options up front, and you know, we can stumble across that mix, that chemistry that allows us to play a winning formula. So I think if we do that, I genuinely think we can get to the semi-final, and who knows from there.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. I mean, and all the, you know, the settee pundits will have opinions about the odd player here or the odd player there. But I think, by and large, this is an excellent squad he's taking out there. He's just now going to motivate them and get them playing in the right formation to produce some results. If they get away to a good start, I mean, I think it might just be like the Euros last time in this country. It might just be that they can get over that line and at least get into the final. What fabulous that would be, to at least get in the final, even though we might get beat by Germany on penalties.
And what a boost for grassroots football it would be too. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
Right. Yeah, always the way. Well, Chris, thank you very much for joining us on the show this evening. It's been brilliant to have you here.